Like y'all talk.
Oh, yeah. It is a gay and lesbian theater for all people. I started it as a result of, I have no formal theater training. I was a student of early music and then I decided that I wanted to get into theater, so I wrote a solo piece for myself and put it in the New City Theater Directors Festival in the spring of 84, and it was the best of. And New City wanted to bring a gay audience into New City. Does everyone know about New City Theater?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have to talk to their marketing. Anyway, and so I suggested a gay lesbian theater festival. This was an evening of seven short pieces that included adaptations from short stories, scenes from plays, monologues, and actually including The Gift was a monologue from that first festival. And then one of the scenes from the festival, John Krasanchik, the artistic director there, asked me to direct the full play, so I directed that in the fall, and it was successful, and then they wanted to have us there more, and so we left and started our own company, and it was called Gay Theater Seattle for the first year and a half, during which time I answered some questions for myself, which I think are interesting. They're certainly interesting to me. One of them was, I had known for a long time that I wanted a career in the arts. I wanted to make my living as an artist. I had been involved in music, as I said. I'd been a paid singer in choirs and had done some administrative stuff and musical directing, ensemble directing. And I just didn't feel that it was happening, and so I decided to go into theater, which was, I don't know why I thought I was going to make a living there. But I did, and the question that I had at the beginning was, can a gay lesbian theater be professional? Can it be considered professional? Can it be taken seriously in the arts community by the general public as a viable, as a professional entity? And could I make my living at it? Because demographics is very important. I mean, films, people who work in films make a lot of money because a lot of people go to films. TV people make a certain amount of money because a certain amount of people watch films, and people in theater make a certain amount of money because that's the audience of the market for that. And it's not a complete and absolute corollary, but there are some connections, and I worry that I might be creating a dead end for myself artistically. And calling the theater Gay Theater Seattle, it was like, well, you know, we can find ourselves to a gay audience. After some soul searching and trying different things, I hit upon the name Alice B. Theater, which is that's for Alice B. Toklas, who was the lover of Gertrude Stein, and she was in, now, and I thought the name was had more literary pretensions than Gay Seattle, and hit upon the subtitle Gay Lesbian Theater for All People. What I say about the theater now. And it was at this time that Susan became involved, and we've always been very committed to it being gay and lesbian, and not totally and solely closed as far as we need. But what I say about the theater now is that as an artist, making my living in the theater, that I want the theater to be a place where what is happening is so interesting that artists will want to work with us and audiences will want to come and see the work. And that's the most important thing. And what has been very exciting about doing it here in Seattle is that this environment, both the whole environment, the gestalt of Seattle, as well as the arts community, has been open, has been accepting of that idea. And we have now an audience that That's my ideal. That's an ideal ballot. I like it that homosexuals are in the majority, but I like it that it's not closed. I think it's very interesting. I think it's a very interesting experience for heterosexuals to come to an organization, an institution like that, where they're in the minority. Because I think that that is the other side of the dialogue when we go to general theater productions, and the reverse is true. And so I feel that what we do is complete a dialogue, or participate in a dialogue in the theater community. So, closing my opening remarks, I turn to Susan.
Closing my opening remarks?
Yes.
How many people here have seen a book? For those of you who don't know, we are in a season that includes our fourth season now of 5 or 6 productions. We perform in theaters all over the city. We work anywhere from on board to UC Theater to Theater on the Jackson to a warehouse down by the Kingdom to a bunch of different things. We have a band in the first season. What you saw today is an original work that was expected. Primarily, I get all the secret history and guest star there. And was in some ways developed by all three of us. It didn't mean that we could perform it in a tour context, because as you see, it's very easy for us to pick it up and sing it. But a lot of the shows that we do are fully produced with sets, full costumes, full cast. Rarely, I think, people we have a few of guests on there, but for the most part, we go off. And you put on productions that are almost never soap opera or interesting drama, if you will, about people of the same sex dealing with their relationships. But it's not what our theater is about. And you may think that's what it's about when you hear it from the game of the theater, but that is not what it's about. From the get-go, what we're about is a gay and lesbian aesthetic or sensibility. And then we start to come up with ideas that stem from that. Now it may be because a gay and lesbian person created a monologue about the cow, that that's maybe for the first time you see a person who doesn't like the cow. From the get-go, you don't see anything homosexual in a context of that monologue. And yet, some of that same monologue, that same context, is someone else's hand that can come out with a really different thing. We produced a couple of major fundraisers for this last couple of spring. One of them was Classic Film Spirits. This year we did Andrew May, and the year before this spring we did All About Eve. And they were good. They were fundraisers for us for the Andrew Space in the first year, and this year was for us, tomorrow's for us. And what we did with those productions was we chose a classic film script, and we just scrambled the casting way, all over. Men, women, gender, non-gender, cross-dressing, non-cross-dressing, white people playing black people, Asian people playing white people, and all kinds of wild stuff. And I think that those men have given a general view of the community, a sense of where our heads are at. I think we look through the world, through a lens at the world, in a very different way, and that is what is important in the world. Rick and I have done a collaboration each season for the past 3 seasons. And the middle collaboration is called Louisiana Purchase and Deconstruction of American History. Through the World Service Allegory, we looked at using the service allegory as a topic of the production. We looked at the notion of a black woman getting elected to the presidency and a 250-year candidacy that took her from the slave owners to the White House. It was, shall we say, a rather ambitious campaign. With a cast of 25, everything from unicycles to juggling to a Trade Fair Act to the Constitutional Convention to the Black Girl Girls and all that school. There was nothing inherently gay or lesbian about that project, except that one of the small subplot was too many being in the American West, and all the love and travel and minor fortune. But for the most part, it was just our view of American history. I urge you to come to work when you now and or when you get out of school and when you get off school.
I read somewhere that theater styles last usually not more than 80 years. And I don't know how many of you are aware that American theater is in crisis right now, at least by what I see. And I think that this crisis is because we're at the end of a cycle of a style of theater that has been dominating American theater. And it's kind of naturalism, extreme naturalism is really kind of going. And I think that some of the variations on that and some of the avant-garde, what was avant-garde in the 60s, 50s, 60s, even Thornton Wilder was avant-garde and started doing what he was doing. So a lot of those techniques, they are exhausting themselves. There isn't a lot new on Broadway. There isn't a lot that's exciting. And it's because we're in a transitional phase. And I think, I know I'm conscious of that, at least that's my perception, and I'm conscious of that when I do programming for Out of Speak Theater as an artistic director, because number one, the most fun thing I get to do is pick a show. But also, because from the beginning, we've always done every kind of theater style that we can find. Search and destroy. because I feel that there is, that we are at the end of a cycle. We're in a transition phase, I should say. And I want to know what is new. I want to be creating theater where we're moving in the direction of what is new. So our audience is used to seeing a lesbian jazz quintet, adaptations of short stories, poetry, new performance works, like the one we did at the warehouse, which had people coming in on motorcycles and very abstract styles mixed with very naturalistic styles. Kitchen sink plays, two people in a living room with a sofa agonizing over their relationship. musical reviews, this piece, which incorporates some new performance styles, a little bit of movement, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And because of that, I feel that we're open, and we created an audience that is also open to seeing different styles of theater. This also helps us as artists, because we really do have a theme, which is, it must have been somewhere or other, at least on Mars, or at least, you know, by the tip of your finger, related to something having to do with gays and lesbians and sexual minorities. So because of that theme, as it were, going through every different style or exploring lots of different styles keeps the organization, keeps our work fresh to us, making it interesting for us. I think an interesting thing happened at the Seattle Rep a couple of years ago. Now, the Seattle Rep is very traditional regional theater, and it's been doing most of the plays that are in the mainstream of American theater, even new stuff. And they have created a particular kind of audience because of that. And a couple of seasons ago, they tried to produce new performances. They brought in Gil Irwin, and they brought in Martha Clark's Garden Earthly Delights. Does anyone know? Anyone ever heard of her? Martha Clark, okay. She's primarily a choreographer, and this is a very heavily movement-based piece that's company created and has lots of improvisation and that has been set. And it was based on Hieronymus Bosch's paintings, Garden of Earthly Delights. Well, they programmed the piece and they had a revolt among their subscribers. They were completely unprepared for something like that. And I think that it was like a convulsion. It was like a missed heartbeat in that company, because they are trying, I think, also to find what is new. I think it's endemic. I think it's something that you all, as a younger generation, of theater people are going to be facing, are going to be experiencing even more.
What is the company currently doing?
We just closed a play called Remember My Name, which was a collage work based on the AIDS Memorial School. And we are currently in rehearsal for the Holiday Survival of the AIDS Show, which is sort of our response to Voices. It's the third year, and each year we get completely torn apart from the fact that the first half is sort of a 50-pound bit about surviving holidays rather than enjoying. And the second half is an audience participation spoof on television game shows where we actually just present to the audience to keep their passion by. That was originally a conceit of by Rick Raymond and Hans Doyle in year one, and then Rick Raymond is taking classes over the last year in our AMI, and this year the holidays are about the world. In February, we're producing two original works by Seattle playwright in repertory. One is called Damaged Goods, and it's a film that I saw about a letter to the page of his mother who's dead and lives in a ghost, and a young husband. And the other thing is called In My Father's Bed, and it's a story of it's a new performance work about a woman's surviving infant.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.